"'For a piece of glass?'
"'Yes, but you'll need two,' said Nigel the Builder, "'his hands as big as spades, "'leaning against the crumbling remains of the bathroom wall, "'chewing on something inedible. "'Do you want chrome or brass?' "'shouted Danny from somewhere downstairs. "'Or at least it would have been downstairs, if there were any. "'Instead, I peered into a dusty hole "'where the stepladders melted into a grey, throat-filling cloud of evil muck. "'My head was spinning now.'
"'Look, the carpet man will be here in 2 days, so that floor needs to be finished. "'Slate grey or natural oak?'
It was Nigel again.
"'Bollocks!' squealed the electrician as he cut through the wrong wire.
Only Kevin seemed to maintain his sense of humour. He chuckled at Jeff's misfortune.
"'You're as shite as these southern fairies. "'Chuck us a screwdriver,' barked Jeff. "'And shut up. Tea anyone?'
My poor mother levitated between the piles of bricks and plasterboard with a tray full of cups of tea and sandwiches. Somewhere in the garden, a radio pumped out 1980s power ballads.
5 days left, my dad bellowed above the noise of a drill. 5 days. What's not done then isn't getting done.
My heart sank as I jumped through the hole in a bid to escape the pandemonium. I had gone over my budget by half, and there was no chance on earth that the house would be finished on time. I still hadn't bought any furniture, and I was living on a diet of cuppa soup and bacon sarnies that were covered in a fine layer of sandy grime. The property looked like a bomb had gone off, but it didn't stop the builders living in camp cots among the debris.
"'It'll be fine,' said Tracy, calm as ever. "'Shouldn't you be fluffing some pillows or something?'
Kevin winked at the interior designer.
He looked like he was about to pat her on the head.
"'Piss off,' she said, ever so politely. Then she smiled at me with the patience of a Buddhist monk. "'Go outside, get some fresh air, and plan a holiday. "'But there's no bloody stairs yet,' I whimpered pathetically. "'It'll be fine, I promise. "'These things all come together at the last minute.'
I went outside into the garden, which I tried to imagine as a little haven of peace. It would be soon, I promised myself, when the massive pile of rubble and wood had been shifted. I wondered to myself who had lived in this place before me. The wallpaper belonged in a 1970s disco. Who puts wallpaper like that in a 17th century house anyway? I shuddered.
Don't you worry, I have just the paint. It's called Elephant's Breath. Said Tracy, without even a glimmer of irony.
"'Elephant's breath!' my dad regurgitated, half hanging out of the bathroom window. He'd been eavesdropping. "'I've got one you'd prefer. It's called Grasshopper's Fart. It's by Harrow and Balls.'
"'Farrow and Ball,' Tracy repeated with a smile. "'I'll take care of them. Now, you go for a walk in the park, and I'll sort all this out.'
I left the troubled premises in a sullen mood and went for a walk around Hampton Court Palace Gardens. In through the massive gates topped by limestone lions, I entered the magical estate. Rose bushes, apple trees, a wilderness filled with daffodils, crisscrossed with ancient paths and a hidden maze. The boughs of the willow trees in their spring bloom hid the red brick chimney stacks and gargoyle-encrusted rooftops of the magnificent house. Deer, once the favourite sport of old Henry, when he wasn't philandering, ran wild in the parkland beyond. And the Thames, that glorious river, was just a few hundred metres on the far side of the royal courtyard. I cheered up pretty quickly. I often had to pinch myself that I lived so close to Henry VIII's old gaff, reminding me that I was very fortunate indeed. It really was quite astonishing to think of the history of the place, what scandals and love stories must have occurred within these hedgerows and ivy-clad walls. But despite the nostalgia, I couldn't help but think of my bank balance, which was ebbing away with increasing alacrity. I winced as I totted up the daily expenditure and realised how woefully unprepared I was to take on the full refurbishment of a crumbling 300-year-old house that seemed to be falling apart. I took a deep breath. "It'll be worth it," I told myself. In fact, the house was well over 300 years old, if the date on the deeds was to be believed. It said 1670, as a rough estimate. The land had been acquired during the reign of William of Orange by a certain Mr. Abraham Fish.